Now you may not understand it now, but you will.
You ain't felt the shit since the chronic. You ain't felt the shit since the chronic. You ain't felt the shit since the chronic. You ain't felt the shit since the chronic.
You ain't felt the shit since the chronic. New king of this beat shit, I'm the hardest. Just being honest, you ain't got a Grammy, nigga, don't comment. This is my HS87 promise. I go crazy, killer, retarded. When I touch the beat and get started, Barry bonds it. And I hit these hoes with the peace sign. Nigga, I select them salami. Boy, you better get your work up. Been the same nigga since surf clubs. They putting on for that best side. And I'ma make sure that they
hide no all day. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And you know who I am. I'm your gracious host, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Nasheed. And we're broadcasting live out here from Los Scandalous, California. And we're going to chop up some real good game on today's show. Today's show, we're going to talk about black music. What's the status of black music, R&B music, black hip-hop music? What is the status? A lot of people are talking about the incorporation of black music into the mainstream society. So we're going to get deep into that. Also got a special phone call from RL from R&B group Next. He's going to call in a little bit later. We're going to chop up game with him to get his input on the status of R&B. And there's a lot of other stuff that we're going to talk about on today's show. Don't forget to check out TariqElite.com. That's where you can get all that fresh gear. And don't forget to check out HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can check out the hit documentaries Hidden Colors 1 and 2. Now, we're not going to take no phone calls today. It's going to be all game. The only phone call we're going to take is from RL, but we're going to just chop up game throughout the whole show. And we'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Imperial Hustle Entertainment. Now, they give great independent media for urban culture. Check out their magazine that's geared towards models, music artists, and entrepreneurs. It's a perfect, affordable publication for music artists to get their music heard. Their publications are available throughout Southern California and select locations nationwide. Find out more by going to imperialhustle.com or call them at 619-866-4792 and connect with them today. That's imperialhustle.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am your gracious host. I'm Mr. Tariq Elite, ready to chop up some real good game with the family. And a lot of things I want to talk about before we get into the topic of today's show. And don't forget, people, HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get the Hidden Colors 1 and 2 DVD and go to TariqElite.com. Get all that fresh gear, TariqElite.com. Did you guys hear that DMX, they confirmed it today, I think, that DMX will be fighting George Zimmerman on March 1st. That's what these promoters are putting out. And it's very interesting that they're doing this. They're doing all of this stuff. They picked Black History Month to pull this publicity stunt with George Zimmerman. They're being very disrespectful. And not only that, today is actually Trayvon Martin's birthday, and they picked today to announce all the particulars of the fight. So all of this stuff is meticulously done to be very disrespectful. I think it's very tacky. I think it's very disrespectful. And it is very interesting that they got DMX to fight George Zimmerman, because the rapper The Game kept offering to fight him. And The Game is more in shape. He's more trained. He's more thorough. And I think they picked DMX because he's technically still a celebrity. And I like DMX, but DMX is a little bit older. And if DMX were to beat George Zimmerman down, it wouldn't be that bad of a beatdown, because DMX is smaller. You know, we know that DMX has had a problem with the narcotic, so we don't know how thorough that fight will be. You dig? But all of it is a great big circus act. This promoter who's promoting it, I think he's a dirtbag. And this should be a wake-up call to a lot of black folks out there, the blatant disrespect. And again, the way they chose to do this during Black History Month, the disrespect is blatant, and hopefully black folks will start waking up to the game and we start getting a code of conduct. I'll get into that code of conduct a little bit later, but we really need a code of conduct. And speaking of code of conduct, let's shout out the gold digger of the week. I won't even call her a gold digger. I will say the woman who has come up for the week. Like I said before, 2014 is the year of the side piece. A lot of side chicks are coming up. Another one has come up. Basketball player, NBA player, Paul George, who's in a relationship with one lady. He has knocked up a Miami stripper. There's a stripper in Miami named Daniela that Paul George has knocked up. And she's on Instagram taking pregnant selfies. She's really gloating and smiling from ear to ear because she's about to be the next America's top stripper millionaire. And I've talked about this many times on the show, especially lately. The game has changed, fellas. You got a lot of backdoor hoeing going on. Y'all need to go ahead and deal with some front door hoeing instead of getting caught up with the backdoor hoes. And I'm not trying to disparage the young lady because it does take two to tango, but these dudes have to know by now. What is it going to take for you guys to understand that the game is rigged against you? You got people out here using you to come up. And I talked about this on Twitter and Instagram. Some people are saying that Paul George has like a $90 million contract, so he'll be all right. That ain't the point. $90 million is cool, but the fact that you got to give 25% of that to a damn stripper for 18 years, that ain't cool. At all. No matter how you slice it, that ain't cool. Let me talk to you black folks for a minute. Now look, I know a lot of the brothers out here, we don't like to use the condoms. Black men and women don't like using condoms. That's our thing. We don't like it. Black men and women don't like that. We like to go raw. But the thing is, man, when you're sitting on a few million dollars, you got to put some caution in the mix, just a little bit. Even fellas out there, even if you don't put a condom on, learn the coitus interruptus method. Please Google that. At least do that. At least do coitus interruptus. And basically that means pull out. Damn, do y'all even pull out? Now some people might say the pull out method don't work all the way. It's still not guaranteed. Of course it's not guaranteed, but damn, that will limit the possibilities of you knocking up some random stripper. You understand? Even if you use a condom, you got women out here who will get condoms out of trash bags and still use them. So there's always risk there. The name of the game is to at least minimize the risk. And a lot of you dudes out here, I mean, let's just be realistic. A lot of you dudes are running up in these chicks raw and you're bussing all the way up in them. You're bussing up in them. Fellas out there, listen, don't buss up in these chicks if you're not trying to get her pregnant. Just don't do it. I know the ass is good. You want to feel all the juices and the ambiance of the cooch. I know you want to feel that. But you can't be bussing up in them. Pull it out at least. Bust on her butt cheek, her thigh, chest, elbow, knee. Bust anywhere else but the vaginal area. Y'all niggas get emotional. Y'all get up in that ass, especially if it's some kind of exotic looking chick. Y'all niggas don't know how to act. Y'all bust up in them like you losing your damn mind. Pull your joint out at least. If you can't strap up, pull your joint out. We're going to have a pull your joint out movement. Pull your joint out at least. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to be talking about the music game today. We're talking about black music and the status of black music, especially R&B in particular. I'm a big fan of R&B. Speaking of R&B, I'm going to an R&B concert in the middle of this month. There's a concert with Charlie Wilson and Keith Sweat at the Nokia Theater. I'm going to that one. I've been waiting to see Charlie Wilson for a long time. I miss those real good R&B shows. And a lot of those shows sell out. A lot of those shows sell out because people are hungry for those good R&B shows. That real R&B music, because the music game is so popish now, and most of the people doing R&B happen to be white artists, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a whole different vibe when you're going to see a Charlie Wilson and an R. Kelly. It's a different, but the music is a different vibe there. And And I went to see R. Kelly at the Nokia Theater not too long ago. Great concert. R. Kelly gave an excellent concert. My only pet peeve is some of the people in the audience sometimes. Sometimes you get people who are a little bit too much in the concert, and that's good. You can be very much into the concert, but sometimes you get motherfuckers who go to the concert and they want to be like the artist that's on stage. And they're a little bit too much into it, and they're a little bit too old to be trying to be like the artist. When I went to the R. Kelly concert, there was some dude in the same row as me. I guess somebody must have told him he looked like R. Kelly back in the 90s because he had the 12-play look. He was like a older, bald-headed dude, had on a vest with no shirt. All up in my ear yelling the songs, vibe, vibe, vibe. I'm like, nigga, sit your ass down. You are not no motherfucking R. Kelly, man. Sit down and enjoy the goddamn show like everybody else. But again, you got a lot of people who go to these concerts, and we enjoy it. People get into it. People are very passionate about it. So I can understand that. But we miss those shows, those old R&B groups. And no, SWV, they're coming to LA too. I might go see them. I might go see SWV. And what's interesting about SWV, they got a new show on the We Network. Please check that out. Shout out to the people at We, by the way. The show SWV has on We, excellent show. Check your local listings as to when the show comes on. But they got a show talking about, you know, getting the group back, and you get to see a little bit of insight into their lives. Great, great show. And what's interesting about the show, you really look into the personalities of the girls. And what's interesting, the lead singer Coco kind of has a real shitty attitude. Coco has kind of a shitty vibe. And as a matter of fact, they were saying that she was the reason why the group broke up in the first place. It was the ego thing. And even on the reality show, Coco keeps going around like, yeah, I'm the lead singer, SWB. People just like me because I'm the lead singer. I show up. She shows up to meetings late, and they're like, why are you late? Because I felt like it. It's that type of shit. She's on that diva shit, but she don't know how to be a diva. See, if you're going to be a diva, you got to at least know how to be a diva. You got to still be charismatic if you're going to be a diva. There has to be a balance. Because they, like, Patti LaBelle is a diva. And I've criticized Patti LaBelle on the show, but Patti LaBelle is still a likable lady. Patti LaBelle is still a very nurturing, mothering type of lady, and people love being around her. But she has another side. Patti LaBelle is gangster as hell. Patti LaBelle be smacking up paparazzi. Patti LaBelle is a gangster ass old school chick. So her divaness is balanced out. A lot of these artists, like Whitney Houston, was a diva, but she was a likable female. People love Whitney Houston. And the thing with Coco from SWV, she wants to be a diva, but there's nothing likable about her personality. She can sing great, excellent singer, but her personality is garbage. And I don't think she understands that part of the game. What they don't understand is that what makes you like SWV are the other two girls, Lily and Taj. The other girls, they have great personalities. They're like really down to earth, really fun girls, very charismatic, and they actually make you like the group. That's why when Coco had a solo record that came out, she had a song called Sunshine that she did solo back in the day. Was a great song, but it didn't really pop off. Because the thing is, she don't really connect with the audience by herself like that. And the other girls do. There's a chemistry and a charisma that the other girls have with the audience, and that makes them like the group. So Coco needs those girls as much as they need her. They need each other. And Coco seemed like she's going through like some little problems, some little issues, and we're all human. Because I'm not trying to beat up on the sister. I don't know what her journey is. But the thing is, when people go see you as an artist, we don't want to see you deal with your psychological problems. That's the thing. We're going to see you to get away from our problems. So you got to put your game face on. Look, we're human. We go through stuff. But if I'm paying $40, $50 to see you, I don't want to see you go through no fucking meltdown and you on stage looking crazy. We're going to see you because you remind us of a time when shit was popping back in the 90s. You remind us of fun times. That's why people go see you. So you can't be on that diva shit and you don't have any kind of charisma. no matter how talented you are. A lot of people think it's their talent alone that's going to get them over, and it doesn't work like that all the time. Like, look at Lauryn Hill. I love Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill is very talented, but Lauryn Hill was going through some psychological problems. So that's why, you know, she wasn't connecting with audiences no more. They didn't want to see this woman have meltdowns. You know, you go see a concert, she come on stage dressed like a bag lady. Nobody want to see that. You don't want to see one of your favorite artists go out like that. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But like I said, we're going to talk about the music game. A lot of people were complaining about the recent Grammys. And the recent Grammy Award, you had people like Justin Timberlake winning, Robin Thicke. You had Macklemore winning all of these awards that were traditionally going to black artists, like the Rap Award, the Best Rap Album going to Macklemore, R&B Album going to Justin Timberlake. And it's been like that lately with a lot of award shows. A lot of white artists are winning R&B awards and rap awards. The Eminems, the Macklemores, and I'm not taking away any talent from these people. Like Macklemore, I like Macklemore. His song Can't Hold Us is an excellent song. I've said that many times. He's a phenomenal performer. I give him that. I'm not taking anything away from that brother. Now, for him to have the best rap album, now we got a problem. Even he said Kendrick Lamar should have won the best rap album, and that's definitely true. Kendrick Lamar's album was phenomenal, but he was overlooked. And as a matter of fact, this year, no black artist got a top 100 song or number one song on the top 100 charts this year. In the last year, no black artist got a number one song on the top 100 charts in this country. And it hasn't been like that in 55 years. In 55 years, no black artist has had a number one song on the top 100 charts in the United States. That's very telling. And a lot of people are saying, hey, what's going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on, family. You're seeing history repeat itself. R&B and rap is being taken away from black people. It's that simple. We're seeing R&B music being taken away from black people. When you look at R&B, you got the top R&B people, Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, that Lord chick, I hear her songs on R&B radio stations, Justin Timberlake. So that's the new face of R&B now. It's being taken away right before our eyes. And that is nothing new. This is history repeating itself. Country music started off as black music. When you look at country music now, what do you see? It's the most non-black music genre you can think of. We can even go farther than that. When we look at classical music, you know, that was started by the Moors and Beethoven, and the Moors bringing pianos into Spain and Europe. If we want to get real deep with it, we talked about that in Hidden Colors 1, by the way. Get that at hiddencolorsfilm.com. We talk about how classical music was brought into Europe by the Moors, and they brought all those instruments into Europe. Now that has been identified with whiteness. And then you look at rock and roll music. Rock and roll music, when it started off, straight up black music. Straight up black music. Now when you think of rock and roll, Lily White. So all the good R&B is being promoted to the white artist. And now back in the day, what they would do, a white artist, you see a black artist who had a hot R&B song, they just take it. White artists just say, okay, we're just going to take that song. The record company just take it from the black artist, wouldn't pay him nothing, leave him broke and destitute. So they can't use that tactic no more. So what they do, they get the black producers of a lot of black artists, and then they incorporate them. They bring them into the mix. They get the Timberlands and the Pharrells, and they bring them in the mix. And they get black people to co-sign the white artists. So they get a lot of black people to surround these white artists to give them black cred. That's what they did with Miley Cyrus. I did a show a few weeks ago talking about slumming. You got Miley Cyrus twerking. You understand? That whole twerking thing, that was a whole marketing ploy. All of that was a marketing ploy. This whole thing with Justin Bieber, that's a marketing ploy too. It's a marketing ploy. He's not he's not an out-of-control teen. He knows exactly what he's doing. Justin Bieber knows he's going to get a slap on the wrist. He knows he's going to get a slap on the wrist. Nothing is going to happen to Justin Bieber. He's been getting arrested. He's speeding, using drugs, and he's doing all this while he's surrounding himself with black dudes. He was throwing eggs at somebody's house, and then the cops came to his house and arrested some brother over there. So Justin Bieber's getting his black street cred. I mean, there's pictures of Justin Bieber with brothers. It was one picture of him and some other black dude sucking some stripper's titties. It's just all types of real nigga shit. You know, when they get around us, they start getting into all that depravity and all of that debauchery when they get around us. I talked about that whole slumming before, but that's to get that cred. That so-called black cred. You see, that raunchiness and ratchetness is associated with us. When they want to do criminal activity and ratchetness and raunchiness, they hang around us. Again, when Justin Bieber cleans up that image, all those Negroes around him, they're going to disappear. They're going to clean that right on up. But like I said, man, the game is changing. They're taking R&B right before our eyes. When was the last time you heard a real hot R&B group that's all black? You haven't heard a hot R&B group like a Jodeci or like a Nex or even a Jagged Edge that's black. You haven't heard that shit in damn near 10 years at least. So the game is changing. And there's another reason for all this too. You got to understand, incorporating R&B and even rap, taking the blackness out of it, taking it away from the black community, that creates a situation where black people are even further economically disempowered, because in the black community, there are only a few things that black folks are allowed by the dominant society to do to make a lot of money. That's usually sports and some kind of entertainment, and usually the entertainment was music. With music, that was one of the few things that the dominant society would allow. And I use the word allow because you can do it yourself if you get your minds right. Unfortunately, a lot of black folks refuse to get their minds right and do it for themselves. But when the dominant society allows you to do certain things to get money, usually it's something non-threatening, and that's sports and music. So now they're taking the music away. Because the thing is, a lot of successful black artists, sometimes they'll use their money to influence culture, to influence public policy, to help out other people of color, like 50 Cent. You know, he was over in Africa feeding people, so he was doing some positive things with his money. You have people who use their money and influence to do constructive things. You had Wyclef, who was going to run for Haiti until they made him stop. They did an assassination attempt on him to give him the message that he shouldn't do that. But he was using his influence to try to influence public policy, which they shut down. And I hope the brother gets back into that game. But a lot of black artists are put into a box to a certain degree, and they don't want us to get too big. They don't want too many of us stacking up money, being successful, because if too many black folks make a lot of money in the entertainment business, somebody's going to wake up and say, hey, look, why don't we get a distribution company of our own? Since 10 of us, we have money, let's all 10 of us start a distribution company like Suge Knight, Jay Prince, and Irv Gotti tried to do, and all of them were arrested within the same week. You understand? See, the thing is, we can't just have a few of us trying to do big things, because when it's a few of us trying to do it, we get targeted. So a lot of us have to be in a position to protect our brothers and sisters who try to do real big things on an influential level. But the game is real heavy right now, man. So the status of R&B is a trip. Let me get this interview on the phone. I got my man RL. He's about to call up. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of R&B. Also, we're going to talk about some of his new projects that he has coming out right now. Let me see if he's on the phone real quickly. How you doing, RL?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Where you calling from, man? Where you at right now?
I'm in the A right now, just leaving the studio out here in the A. The weather's been crazy, you know, this season for some reason. So with the snow and the rain, the city's going to shut down. So we out here just taking it easy.
Yes, indeed. Now, Ariel, where are you from originally?
I'm from the Twin Cities, Los Angeles.
Oh, there you go. For some reason, I thought you guys were from Jersey. That's probably because of KG from Naughty, the guy who was your producer, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That's where we got our start as far as career-wise. So a lot of people, you know, since the affiliation, think we're from there. So I kind of consider my second home and kind of where I was born as an artist. So I can see how that comes about, what people think is Jersey. I represent Ill Town, too.
Yes, indeed. Now, speaking of KG, you guys still cool with KG and Divine Mill and all those guys?
Well, you know, KG for me is more than just, you know, a producer or somebody to discover me. He's like a big brother. So actually, he had called me a few months back and asked me to work on a project with Tretch, you know. So me and Tretch have been in the studio working on something as well, and we had the first single, which is called Ego, and it's me, Tretch, and Jaheim. So, yeah, I'm always going to be down with Divine Mill.
Yes, indeed, and Tretch is so underrated, man. I love Tretch. He's such an underrated MC, man, and I would love to hear that project you guys are working on when it comes out. Now, what have you been up to lately, man? What you been up to? What you got going on?
Well, I got the new EP dropping, and I got the new single. It's the same name as the EP. It's called The Life. Working on that, writing for numerous artists. You know, I was behind the scenes for a while, and I finally decided it was time for me to reemerge. So we've just been throwing records out here and there, but now I got a great team behind me, and we decided to put out a project. So the project's called The Life, and the first single is called The Life, featuring Notorious B.I.G., so I'm just working.
Cool. Now, is the group, now is Next still together? Do you guys still rock with each other? What's the status of Next?
Well, for me, to be honest, I'm not sure. I'll just say that they've replaced me, if that's what you want to call it, and decided to go in another direction, which I respect. My favorite saying is, I wish you well, I just wish me better. So, you know, I hope that they do well and represent the brand that I helped create, and we'll see. I hope that, you know, audiences are happy when they go see them perform and, you know, do what they do. I'm just focusing on, you know, the positive for me.
I wonder how they do that, because a lot of groups do that, like Teddy Riley and Guy. Teddy will go on tour with one group, and then Aaron Hall will go on tour as Guy, and I see that a lot, and I wonder how they make the decision to do that. Like, how come you can't get two other dudes and go on tour as Next, because you are really the voice of Next?
Realistically, I could, because, to be honest, not to, you know, anyway belittle their contributions or anything to what we built, but I wrote those records, and to be honest, if you go to their performance, you will see that they're singing records that I've written for other artists that weren't even, you know, Next records. But, again, as long as they're putting on a good show, I stay in my lane. You know, if a promoter wants to book them and not me, I respect that. And if vice versa, I hope they respect that, you know, the opposite. So I really don't know how it can be done, and I know that from the outside looking in, a lot of people will go, oh, he must have got the big head and wanted to go solo. You know, that's what always happens.
Right.
And the truth is, it's more of business decisions, where you make decisions in life that affect your business, but that might not affect your partner. Say you have a partner for your radio show, and they need maybe some paper because of their personal, and they want you to accept less than what your brand is supposed to be accepting. You say no. They decide to move on without you because of a business decision you made. You feel like you worked so hard for your brand,
right,
that you're not going to accept anything less than the value of your brand. And that's just something I stood by. So really, it wasn't a personal, I'm mad at anybody, they're mad at me. It was a business decision where I felt like the hard work that I put in for over 16 years, I deserve, you know, compensation at a certain level.
Right.
And that's where the argument came in.
Oh, man, you're better than me, RL. I'm going to say this. You're a bigger man than me. If I were you, I'd go down to Greenbrier Mall and get two niggas to sing Butter Love, and I'd go on tour with them. You're much better than me. I can't.
To be honest, you know why I won't go get two? You want to know why I won't go get two dudes to sing with me?
Yeah, why?
To be honest?
Uh-huh.
Because if you listen to the records, I don't need them. I don't, not that I didn't need my group members, but I don't need two more members right now to go on stage and put on the show. So I look at it like, why go split the money? To be honest, it's a business decision for me. It's not a greed decision. I look at it like, if it's not going to be me and those two, then it's just going to be me. I don't feel like I'm replaceable, just like I don't feel like they're replaceable. So that's why.
But you know, a lot of times when these promoters book a show, it's booked on the name of the group. Like, for example, like The Time is one of my favorite groups, and they were going through a whole thing. You know, you're familiar with Minneapolis and all those guys.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Of course I am. You got to remember, that's my family. My mother grew up with Prince. That's what I know.
Oh, wow.
I know exactly what you mean as far as artists doing that. What I'm telling you is a lot of promoters don't even know I'm not coming. Or this is when I talked to KG, this is what KG told me. Legally, when Naughty goes out to perform, if one of the members isn't there, you have to say such and such and such and such of Naughty. You can't say the full name because it's like a corporation. If all three members aren't there, then it's not the corporation.
Right.
Well, with Next, it's the same thing. Realistically and legally, they're not supposed to use the name that I came up with myself and say the name, like, because the audience are going to think I'm going to be there.
Exactly.
And that's my only fear, and that's what I feel bad about. So the truth is, they really aren't supposed to be saying it. They can say Tweet and Kilo up next. Me, my whole job now is, right now I'm RL, the voice of Next. I don't say the lead singer. I don't say former. I don't want to say none of that. What I want to do by the next time we interview is just be able to say RL. That's what I'm working my ass off to be able to do, because
exactly.
I want to rebrand myself.
Now, who owns the name Next now? Who owns that? Does KG own that?
No, really, it's my name.
Okay.
But because it was three of us, I came up with it. But I look at it like, because it was three of us that made that name popular and made a stamp together, that I'll never say that it's just my name. I say it's us three. Oh. So do I feel a certain way when they go out using that name with the new member? To an extent. But again, what I have to focus on is this interview right now and promoting myself
Absolutely.
As an individual to show that I can do things on my own.
Absolutely. That's such a common thing. I see that a lot. The Sugar Hill Gang, they were going through that. There was like, there's two different Sugar Hill Gangs going out. They got Big Bang Hank going out with two other guys, and Master G and Wonder Mike, they're going out with an extra guy. And that just happens a lot. Now, I find that very interesting. How do you feel about the state of R&B right now, RL? Because
it's funny you ask that, because I get asked that by, you know, casual fans and such. And the truth is, my question, what is R&B nowadays? The hottest R&B album I bought this year, to be honest, sadly, is Justin Bieber's. His new album is actually banging. And what has happened is, it used to be them trying to emulate us, and us being the ones that come up with the styles and the fashion and the sounds and everything. Well, as soon as a lot of our big-name producers started seeing those pop checks, they started bringing our R&B artists to that side.
Exactly.
So they start doing the day-togethers and the dance music and the pop records, trying to get a different audience, and they alienated our audience.
Yeah.
And when they did that, they left a lane open. So people like Justin Timberlake, who's talented, Justin Bieber, and Robin Thicke said, oh, wow, while they're over here trying to do what we're doing or what our people are doing, we're going to come back and do what we're really fans of, which is what they were doing. So the problem is, you have a lot of artists that have alienated their fan base and sold out trying to do music that isn't R&B anymore.
Right.
So there isn't a lot of R&B. You know what I mean? So then you only have like the Chris Browns and the Trey Songz, and then you got the Justin Biebers and the Justin Timberlake, and it's not a lot anymore. So for me, the state of R&B is just fine for me, because it's wide open and I can drive in my little lane and continue to grow.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of the producers now, I guess like the Timberlands, they say instead of producing a Genuine, hell, I can go quadruple platinum by producing Justin Timberlake. And, you know,
exactly. Or even some pop music. Because if you remember, Tim was one of the first ones that went over and started working on other kinds of music.
Yeah.
And once you see those kind of checks and you see that they're not headaches, because to be honest, it's almost like getting your car fixed. I hate to say it, but most people I know are going to say, I'm not going to no brother to get my car fixed. I'm going to go here. It's just certain things.
Yeah.
So when you're going and doing business with the other side, and you see your check come on time, ain't no questions about your fee, they ain't trying to go back and forth with you about how much money you want to make, then a lot of times producers go, oh, I'm not trying to deal with that anymore. I'm staying over here.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a whole bunch of different things that make it to where cats don't want to do what really got us here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I noticed there's a big resurgence of people wanting to go to old, like the 90s R&B shows. I see a lot of the R&B shows from the 90s going. I'm going to Charlie Wilson and Keith Sweat in a couple of weeks. And I see like the Blackstreet shows are popping. Do you think people are just really thirsty for the real R&B like we had in the 90s?
Most definitely, because nowadays, this is how it works. You got cats that will come out with a song and it's banging for like 2 months.
Right.
But then you don't ever want to hear it again. So why do you want to go see them perform that record that you really don't want to hear again? Well, we have timeless records, and that's the advantage I have, which is the catalog of records that I did within the group,
myself,
as well as records I've written for Luther, Genuine, Jay Holiday, Usher, Jamie Foxx, you know, you name it. I can add those to my show, or even the Jaheim records I wrote. I can add that to my show, and people sing along. People want to sing along and party and know the words and go, you remember when I was this and that, or you remember in college when this came out, or you remember where you were when you heard it. It's nostalgic, and it takes you back to a place. Nowadays, the music you hear, a lot of it is microwave music, and it's instant. It'll blow up really fast, but then it's gone. So people want to come and enjoy themselves and party and reminisce on what used to be, and I think that's why it's such a resurgence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, in the 90s, man, a lot of y'all R&B dudes, what was funny, a lot of y'all would have beefs, man. Like Guy and New Edition had a beef, and, you know, you wouldn't think that with R&B cats. Hopefully you squashed that beef you had with, like, Jagged Edge. That was some stuff going on with you and those guys for a minute. Well, what was that about?
Well, you know what it's about is when you come, it's competition. And originally there was a record that came out. We was out with G-Unit for a second because people don't realize 50 Cent was on our second album before he became, quote-unquote, 50 Cent.
Okay.
And we've always been cool. We've always been respectful. We've always shown love. And we did a record. And at the end of the record, I go, yo, Jagged and 112, I'm feeling y'all, but y'all better step y'all game up because we coming. I looked at it as some AAU type thing. Like, yo, I've been hooping all summer. So when high school starts, you better be ready. Because I done brushed up my skills. Mm. Other people outside of, you know, in each group circle went to them like, oh, this dude talking mess about you. So it became personal when it really wasn't. It was a call of the competition that I grew up on. Like, yo, I'm feeling y'all, but y'all better come on because we've been in the lab, we're working on something new. Well, it got blown out of proportion. That's part of it. Another part of it, of course, when you young and you the top of your game and you know, top of the charts, and it's a competition, you're competing for women, whether it be an actress or a singer in another group. So we, of course, we cross paths being young men, you know, doing things we ain't got no business doing. But it was really ignorance on my part because all I can say is I need to be able to control myself, no matter what somebody else say, no matter anything. I said something on camera basically like, yo, you know, we supposed to be able to come together, whatever. I meant what I said. But the way I said it, I could have been a little more articulate.
Right.
And I was kind of offended because we were in a public place. But we squashed it to the point of I still do shows with Jagged. I love them. They're one of my favorite groups.
Cool.
I think that we're of a dying breed right now. So when you're talking about shows, you can do a Jagged, you know, Drew Hill, 112, RL, or even the next show. You know what I'm saying? That's what people want. So it's really about us growing up as men and not holding grudges from stuff from 12, 15 years ago.
Exactly, exactly. Now, your biggest, what's your biggest song so far? I know Butter Love was a big hit, and Too Close was a real big hit internationally, wasn't it?
Yeah, Too Close and Wifey. They were both number ones internationally. It's hard because if you're talking about from the group, those are, but then, of course, I did Just In Case and Anything for Jaheim. Bring Your Heart to Mind for Luther. It just really depends. For me, you know, I have personal favorites, but I never was one, I guess, when I was younger. I never really looked at the charts. All I did was just happy to be on stage somewhere.
Absolutely. Now, do you still do the song when you perform solo, the Deborah Cox joint? That's a hot one.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's one of the crowd favorites. I put that into the show. So
who do you get to sing Deborah Cox part?
Oh, no. You know what was crazy is I only do my part because luckily on the duet we have separate verses. It would have been a little harder if we tried to, you know, we were both going back and forth on the verse. I couldn't perform it because I honestly feel like if it's not Deborah, I really wouldn't want it to be somebody else.
Man, I swear you are better than me, dude. If they say, hey, look, man, Tariq, we want you to come sing Can't Be Friends, but we need you and Deborah Cox. I'll find the goddamn Deborah Cox. I'm going to find somebody. I go down to the WIC, find me a single mother who needs $30, $40, and I get her to sing that motherfucker with me on stage. You are very honorable, brother. I'm getting that money. Man, I can't wait to hear the new stuff, man. I know it's hot, man. You've written for so many people, man. And what are some of the songs you wrote for Jaheim? Because I love Jaheim's stuff, too.
I wrote Just In Case. I wrote Anything. I wrote Remarkable. 1-0-3 I wrote for Jaheim. I wrote Forecast for Jamie Foxx. Come Here for Jay Holiday. I can't even remember so many records for different individuals. I wrote Weekend Thing for Coffee Brown, stuff like that. So.
Oh, that's what's
up. Yeah, I've been around.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So anyway, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. Again, what's the name of the new EP, and where can people get it?
Well, it's going to be a free download. It'll probably be, well, I know it'll be on my site, which is justrl.com. It's called The Life. The single right now is called The Life as well. You can go there and download it as well. For me, I've been gone so long, I want to reintroduce myself. I let people see that nothing has changed. When you think of RL, you still get the same quality music that you're used to. And that's why I'm giving this away first. The album that'll be next, that's called 515. I recorded 80 records for that. So
Wow. We're
really just trying to get music out to the masses to show people that ain't nothing changed.
Absolutely. You know, people used to say that you and I look alike. People used to say that all the time. They used to say that you look just like the dude who sang Butter Love. Now that I know that you ain't going on tour with Next, I'm a fuck around and call one of them promoters. Find me two background singers, and I'm gonna get one of them $30,000 checks from London somewhere. Cause, dude,
go get that money, man. I need an agent. Give me 10%. Give me 10%.
My man, hey man, I appreciate you. Do you have an official website, bro?
Yeah, it's justrl.com. JUSTRL.com.
JustRL.com. That's what's up, man. Where are you performing next, man? I would love to see you in concert, man.
You know what? I'm in Waterloo for Valentine's Day. I'm all over. I'm in Texas for the following 2 days. If you give me your info, of course, whenever I'm in a city near you, come hang out. I say you chill out, you know what I'm saying?
No
Have
doubt.
Some fun.
No
Please,
doubt.
Man, I'll be honored.
Much respect, man. Hey, my brother, thank you so much for the call, man. I appreciate you. Yes, indeed. That was the homie RL from the group Next. Real good brother, man. That's an honorable brother, man. He's better than me. Dude is going on tour, and the other dudes are going on tour using the name Next. You know what I should have asked him about? I should have asked him about Jaheim and that suit that Jaheim wore at the Whitney Houston funeral. Y'all remember that when Jaheim wore that suit? And Jaheim got mad at people for clowning that suit. He was talking shit to people on Twitter because people were like, he showed up with this suit and the shit was like purple and had like a cape on it. And Jaheim was getting mad because folks was talking about that suit. He was on Twitter talking about, y'all some motherfucking haters. Like, no, we're not haters, Jaheim. It's just that suit is a beast. And nobody could tell what color it was. It was like one of them exotic. It was an exotic color. It was like eucalyptus. It was like one of them old exotic colors that was in the big crayon box, like electric indigo, cobalt. I don't know what color that damn suit was, but it was loud than a motherfucker. Shout out to Jaheim. Sometimes you just gotta take that L. Don't try to argue with people about a wardrobe mishap. Charge that shit to the game. Don't try to argue with people, Jaheim. That was a wardrobe mishap. You had a fucked up suit day. Just let people know, hey, man, I was mourning. I was leaving the house. I picked up the first suit I can grab, and I stepped out the house. I might have made a mistake. That's how you handle that. Don't get mad at people for calling out that colorful-ass suit. But I digress. But again, RL was a real good dude, very honorable guy. And that's interesting, man. He goes on tour. He does, like, that song, We Can't Be Friends, and that was a big song. And he said he just does his part, and that's it. Again, it's better than me, because if I'm on tour, I'm about to go on tour, and there's a promoter who's like, hey, look, Tariq, we want you to sing your song, man, but it has to be a duet, man. We were going to give you $30,000, but, you know, the people want to hear We Can't Be Friends, and I heard that you ain't talking to Deborah Cox, so we can't give you the money. I'll be like, no, hold up, nigga. You gonna get a motherfucking duet. Don't get it twisted. Just write the check and book the flight. You gonna get the duet. I'm singing that with somebody in that motherfucker. Just book the flight. I'm not turning down no good money just because I can't find Deborah Cox. I don't give a fuck if she blocked me on Twitter. I find somebody else. I will get somebody to sing We Can't Be Friends on that damn stage. I got a Mexican housekeeper. I have her ass sing the goddamn song on stage. I take her on tour and I'll be like, look, Lupe, you're going to have to go on the road. We're going to sing this song. She's like, I know how they sing, Mr. Nasheed. I'm like, no, we got the right song at the right place at the right time. Now I need you on that stage right now. I turn into Ike Turner on her ass. And we'll get on that stage and I'll be side-eyeing her every time we sing in the song. I'll be on the stage just like this, getting it in.
Can't be friends.
Keep up, Lupe. Keep up, Lupe.
Oh, no. We can't be friends.
Harmonize, Lupe.
We can't be friends. I'm still in love with you. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Take it away, Lupe.
I came to mother the other day, 'cause we still family. I got to pray.
I'd be like, Ike Turner, what the problem is? You forgot the words?
No me gusta, Mr. Nasheed. No me gusta.
Yeah, hey, I go off on her ass. I'm getting that $30,000. Me and Lupe be on stage. We'll work that shit out. I'll be like, you better sing that motherfucker from here. I'm going to put some stank on it. She'll sing that fucking song for them $30,000. She ain't going to mess my money up. But anyway, I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get up out of here. Hey, y'all, don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the movie Hidden Colors 1 and 2. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com and get all that fresh fly gear. Follow me on Instagram if you're not following me. My Instagram is TariqElite. That's my Instagram, and my Twitter is Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram right now, and I'll holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream. I'm a holler.